Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. You realize where this is all ending, this whole series, this Advent leading up to Luke 2, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's where it ends. Where does the Christmas story begin? And so we start going back step by step. Luke chapter 1. You will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. That's not where it starts. Back into the Old Testament, Micah 5, verse 3. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until she who is in labor gives birth. And before Micah, there's Isaiah. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel. And before that, back to Genesis, God speaking to Abraham, and in your seed all nations of the earth will be blessed. Is that where it starts? I keep on going back. Genesis 4, verse 1. Oh, here's the text. Genesis 4, verse 1. But let me give it to you straight from the Hebrew. The words of Eve. I have gotten a man, the Lord. And that's not even where it begins. Because when Eve says, I've gotten a man, the Lord, she's responding to a promise that she has heard. And the promise is back a chapter earlier when God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Child is going to come and he'll be the seed of the woman. Is that where it begins? Actually, we have a verse from Paul. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Here it is. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. When did the Christmas story begin? Before the first dust of the universe, before time itself was started by God, before anything was put in place and set running, then way back when, before anything else, in the wisdom of the triune God, in the conversation, in the word back and forth between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the plan was set in place that a Christ would come because God knew that when he created Adam and Eve, he knew that they would fall into sin. But this evening, we're focusing on the words of Eve. I have gotten a man, the Lord. Usually, translations into English try and smooth that out. I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord, because it can't be this raw statement that Eve thinks that first child to be born is God coming into the world. Because if she thinks that, then she's mistaken. Right, have they met us, these translators? Do they realize how often we are mistaken? So there it is, the raw Hebrew. I've gotten a man, the Lord. And you dig into and you look at what she is saying. She's heard the promise, hasn't she? She knows the promise, and the promise is that there will come a salvation. She's waiting for a deliverance. And it's a deliverance from the trouble, the mess, the catastrophe, the fall into sin, all of those things that are going to come about in her life, in the life of her husband, Adam, and will come about in the lives of her children, all of which it's our own fault. We did it to ourselves. She's waiting for a deliverer to take and rescue her and the entire human race from this mess that we got ourselves in. And what exactly is the deliverance? What exactly is it? Well, it's set right there in the first gospel promise, the seed of the woman, the Christ child, born for me. Born to share my human flesh and blood, to be struck by the devil, and in that battle to crush the head of evil. It is the Christ child born to put away the lying words of promise that came from the devil and bring us back to the words of God. It is the Christ child who will hold on to the word of God, to the words and promises of God, to believe where Adam and Eve failed, to believe the words and promises of God where I too fail to trust, fail to believe, fail to carry that believing of the words and promises of God into my life. But this child will carry the words and promises of God, and he will carry them in faith and in absolute trust, absolute belief. He will carry them to the farthest extreme, through the place of darkness, the place of the curse, the place where the word of God, dust you are and to dust shall you return, where that word of God, that word of curse is poured out on him, and where he didn't have to take that curse, he took it on himself, took the curse and was struck down to death. But in taking that curse, he held on to the words and promises of God in absolute trust and faith, and so he brings the words and promises of God to me, to wherever I am, to wherever I have wandered from God's word. He brings those words and promises back to me. And now the words and promises of God, what are they? Well, before we get to that, a couple of other things. Eve knew the promise. She knew what was involved. She knew that God was coming, that the Lord himself was going to enter into our human race. And he was going to take on human flesh. And so when Jesus comes, he takes that flesh that had the curse hanging over it, dust you are and to dust shall you return. And he replaces that curse with words coming once again from God. And the whole human race now hangs in the balance between whose word do we believe? Do we believe the lying words of the promise, you will be like God? Or do we believe the words of God? And the problem with believing the words of God is that when we hear the word of God, so often those words are words of judgment and words of condemnation and words that we have broken the law. Can we bear up under those words? That's why we need the Redeemer to step in our place and take those words on himself and to bring back to us a different word from God. so that instead of being under the words of the curse, here's the words he puts in place. It is finished from the cross. And from Easter evening, peace be with you. And from Easter morning, I ascend to my Father and your Father. And his proclamation to his disciples, because I live, you will live. So the seed of the woman coming in our flesh, entering our human race, it's almost like an invasion. Way back when, it was actually when my son was involved in serving his nation in the armed services and was deployed to Iraq, I started hearing words and phrases like boots on the ground. And you can't win a conflict from far off. And the military was saying you have to have boots on the ground. And then it came around to Christmas and all of a sudden it was, what an interesting illustration. Boots on the ground. And here comes the Savior. He's not going to save from far off. He's going to step into our human race. He's going to be boots on the ground, engaged in the conflict that we fight, and he's going to win that battle for us. But in doing that, he had to be struck. Struck by the word of the curse and struck by the accusations of the devil. So once again, Eve, she looks at this child and she says, I've gotten a man, the Lord. And in saying that, she reveals that she understands what God has in mind. He's going to be one of us. Human flesh, human DNA, human eyes and ears, human earlobes and, nose hair, human toenails and a spleen, human emotions and feelings, and a human mind and soul. And all that we are, he was going to claim as his own. And the letter to the Hebrews says, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. We need this God in the flesh. We need this God with human DNA and earlobes and a spleen and a human soul that can feel emotions, with knees to kneel, with hands to stretch out on the cross. That's who we need. And that's the promise. And Luther says, he became man himself in order to redeem us from sin and death. And then in typical Luther fashion, he says, well, the devil came close to us. Yeah, he did. Into the Garden of Eden, whispering promises. But he did not come as close as to assume our nature. He persuaded Adam to fall away from God, but he did not become man. He did not come so close to us as did God's Son, who became our flesh and blood. And that is the one we need. To be one of us and to bring the promises of God back to us. That's the part that Eve knows. The part that she doesn't know is that she is way too early. There was a lot of waiting to be done, a lot of the Word of God to be preached, a lot of prophecies to come, a lot of bringing the words and promises to nation after nation, and only then, when the time was right and everything was ready, only then was the promise unfolded. finally with the birth and the suffering and the resurrection of Jesus, it became clear what it was all about. Strike his heel meant the suffering on the cross. Striking the head of the serpent meant the destruction of all the devil's plans. And one more verse. One more verse, Ephesians 2, verse 7. In order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's the promise of God. It is what we are still waiting for in the ages to come. The surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In his name, amen.